puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And now it's time for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Mr. Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Please tell me, what are we discussing this week?
This year, 2022, marks the 20th anniversary of something called Doors Open Brandon, basically 3 days to celebrate the Wheat City's built heritage. So this week, we're going to talk about the buildings that listeners can check out for themselves next weekend.
And what is Doors Open Brandon?
It's the Brandon version of an annual event that dates back to 1984. That year, the Ministry of Culture in France sponsored what it called Monuments Open Day. Basically, when free access was given to buildings that were not normally open to the public. The idea was to encourage people to discover France's exceptional built heritage, and it proved so successful that other European nations organized their own events. In 1990, it was first called Doors Open at an event in Glasgow, Scotland. The concept was held for the first time in North America in 2000. And in fact, it was right here in Canada, in Toronto. Here in Winnipeg, Doors Open started in 2004, co-hosted by Heritage Winnipeg and the Winnipeg Downtown Biz. It resumed this year after a 2-year break due, of course, to the pandemic. It was held a few weeks ago, but keep in mind that started in 2004. Brandon actually had started 2 years earlier.
Oh, wow. And you said this is the 20th anniversary of Doors Open Brandon.
That's right. So Brandon really has an early history with this whole project. And they started with a self-guided tour of a dozen or so heritage homes and other buildings around the city.
What sorts of buildings are available this year?
That's right. Well, it does vary from year to year. And so you always have to check to see what sorts of things are open in that particular year. Well, this year, there are 3 churches in the year's offerings. We have first the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary Ukrainian Catholic Church. It's on Assiniboine Avenue, built in 1941, and it features a wonderful painted ceiling by the noted Canadian artist Leo Moll. We have St. Matthew's Anglican Cathedral on 13th Street, a beautiful church constructed between 1912 and 1913. And a highlight for me particularly will be the St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church on Russell Street. Now, it's a small wood frame building, kind of inconspicuous even, constructed in 1885, just 3 years after Brandon was founded. But it's believed to be the city's oldest surviving church building. Over its 137-year history, St. Andrew's has had 3 locations and 3 names, the St. Andrew's one having been given it in 1910. So there's real history tied up in that little church building.
And you know what? I didn't actually know that Leo Moll did paintings. I only know him for his sculptures. How about private homes?
Well, this is a category I really enjoy, you know, to see some of the magnificent homes that stand around the city. It is, unfortunately, an underrepresented category in Doors Open Brandon, but I understand why. You know, not everyone is keen to have strangers traipsing through their home. One of the 2 homes that is available to tour this year is the Graham House on Lorne Avenue, designed by the noted Brandon architect Walter Schillinglaw and built in 1903 for local businessman and MLA Herbert Graham. He and his family lived in it just 7 years, and the next occupant was the lawyer Archibald Smith. He was there till 1937. You know, it's one of the many fine homes in the older residential area of Brandon between 10th and 18th Streets.
And you said there are 2 homes on this tour.
In a manner of speaking, yes. The second home is the Daly House Museum on 18th Street. It's one of the city's oldest homes, dating from 1882, the founding year. It was occupied by lawyer and judge Thomas Daly. He moved in 1882, but then moved out again in 1896, selling the house to his law partner and future MLA, George Coldwell. Mr. Coldwell lived there into the early 1930s, and from that point, for the next 40 years, the house became an orphanage called The Maples. Then a nonprofit group took possession of the house in 1976, undertook extensive renovations to turn back the house's clock to the 1880s, you know, to make it look like it looked when it was first built, and they opened it as a community museum in 1978. It is magnificent. Another highlight of the Daily House Museum, incidentally, is its Magnaca Research Center, an archive of materials relating to all sorts of facets of Brandon's history. It's really a wonderful stop for anyone interested in the history of Western Manitoba.
And how about the institutional buildings of the area?
Well, there's four. One that I am especially eager to tour is the Agricultural Extension Center on Queens Avenue near the Keystone Center. It was built between 1912 and 1913 as one of four facilities for the training of teachers. You know, it was essentially a normal school. In 1941, the teachers were moved out to make way for the Canadian military. Of course, this was during the Second World War. They used that building for wartime purposes. But then when the war was over, they turned the building over, not back to the teachers, but over to the Manitoba Department of Agriculture. It's still today used as office space for several provincial government departments, most especially agriculture, which of course makes perfect sense for a city whose economy is powered by farming.
How about the second institutional building?
That would be Clark Hall, the core of today's Brandon University. It was constructed in 1906 and is Brandon's oldest public building still in active use. Its exterior features locally made bricks and Manitoba limestone. And I say this because the exterior is mostly all that remains of the original structure. When I taught at the university in the early 1990s, Clark Hall was showing its age. You know, I remember, for example, going in and feeling the floors kind of creak rather menacingly underfoot. And I always wondered, ooh, I wonder if this floor is going to give way underneath me. Well, over a two-year period, the interior was removed and a new building basically was constructed inside. So it's a new building with a nice old facade. That building opened officially in 1997.
That would have been totally scary, Gordon, as you're teaching, just like wondering if I'm going to just creak through the floor. As you're talking, I'm wondering about the third institutional building.
Well, that would be the Institute of Culinary Arts of the Assiniboine Community College. It occupies the former nurse's residence from what was at one time called the Brandon Mental Health Center. That building was built between 1920 and 1923, and it marked a significant departure from the earlier structures at that facility, which tended to be very imposing and sort of institutional in appearance. By contrast, this is a very attractive building. You know, the interior, for instance, features rich oak woodwork, attractive mosaic tile work, wrought iron staircases, and ornamental plasterwork. I've really wanted to see the inside of this building for years and years. I will get my chance next weekend.
Well, all of these buildings sound amazing. I know there's one more, so tell me about that one.
Well, arguably this last one is maybe the most historically significant building in Brandon, at least in some way. It's the former station of the Canadian Pacific Railway. The building itself was built in 1911, and that's, of course, where scores of people arrived to make a new life for themselves in Western Manitoba. They'd get off the train, and then they'd head off to find a place to live. And many people in Western Manitoba, you know, have roots from people arriving in that railway station. After it was no longer used by the railway as a public portal, it continued in use as office space. Well, today, I think it really continues to honor that legacy because it still welcomes newcomers to the West Man region by hosting an immigrant services agency.
Wow, some things don't change. Now, is there anything else to tour?
Well, Doors Open Brandon is also an opportunity to visit several of the city's great museums, and the best part is they are free of charge. So in addition to the aforementioned Daily House Museum, we have the Brandon Armory Museum on Victoria Avenue, a wonderful military museum. We have the Brandon General Museum and Archives on 9th Street, and the Commonwealth Air Training Plan Museum at the Brandon Airport on the north edge of the city. And for those willing to drive a little farther, there's also the wonderful Royal Canadian Artillery Museum at CFB Shiloh, a little east of Brandon, all free next weekend.
And if people get really inspired after touring these buildings around Brandon, is there anywhere else they can get to learn more about Brandon's built heritage?
I would suggest they should definitely check out the interactive map of historic sites that's on the Manitoba Historical Society website. There we have information on over 100 buildings around the Wheat City. You may not be able to see inside them, but you can at least learn about their rich history. And who knows, maybe next year in the offerings and Doors Open Brandon, you'll be able to get inside them too. So a wonderful chance to learn more about the rich history of Manitoba's second largest city.
Oh, fantastic. Can you give us a hint about next week's episode?
Well, during the last 2 weeks of June, just, you know, the last 2 weeks ago, I went on a couple of adventures in northern Manitoba. Next week, I'll talk about the first of those trips in which I was marooned on an abandoned island in Hudson Bay. Oh, boy.
Sounds like an adventure.
It was.
I can't wait for that, Gordon. Thank you so much.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.